figure out all these gadgets. Good morning. How are you? Most of you probably don't know me. Some of you have known me my whole life, and vice versa. I'm not familiar with every single one of you, but again, some of you I've known for a very long time. My name is Evan Brock, and we worship at the Baldwin congregation not too far from here. And we actually have been visiting here and around other areas a lot lately, so you've probably seen me and my wife, Celia, out and about if you visit around too. But we were here, I think, for your last gospel meeting. But I just want to start off by saying thank you, and you really don't know how thankful I am for this opportunity, because I'm just trying to further my growth spiritually and just, you know, get as many congregations under my belt preaching-wise as I can, because I enjoy it so much, and it really is just something I feel like I need to be doing. So this helps me probably more than it helps you. And I'll probably tell you that if I have further opportunities to preach for you, I'll probably tell you that again, because it really does. It helps me. I don't know if that was me. Might have been. I don't know. Sorry. But it helps me more than it helps you, I guarantee. So thank you, and I want to start off again by saying that I love you. Most of you, I don't know your name, but I love you. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's a bond that's unbreakable. This world can't break, and I truly, truly love every single one of you. Today, we're going to be talking about fear, really. And I'm going to start out with David and Goliath. And most people, most of you have probably heard this story once before. But I chose these two pictures because I'm actually going to tell a story of my own that I'd heard. This was not me, but I'd heard this story on television before. And it's a very interesting and exciting story, so I thought I would incorporate it. This man's up in Alaska, and he's hunting elk. And, you know, elk, deer, it's a big moose almost. So he's hunting, and he shoots one, and he goes down to clean the deer so he can drag it out of the bush. He can't drag it all out, so he's cleaning the deer. And he had set his rifle down on a stump, and he's cleaning this deer. As he's cleaning this deer, he hears a noise, so he looks up. And he said he was face-to-face with a grizzly bear, a full-grown grizzly bear. And you can imagine, I mean, these things stand about 8 foot tall and weigh around 700 pounds. So its head is probably about this big if you're looking face to face. Well, he said that all he had was his knife. He didn't have time to reach for his gun, but the bear swipes at him and cuts his left hand all to pieces. Said it just ripped his flesh and meat right off his bone. Well, he falls down, and the bear kind of goes at him and bites his right leg. And he said it takes a big chunk out of his leg. Well, he then stabbed the bear in the neck. The bear let go and turned around and started walking off. And, you know, you can only imagine his thought process is, whew, I hope that thing's not coming back. Well, it turned around and stood up on its back legs and just roared at him. And he stood up and he said, "Bring it on, bear. The Lord's on my side." The bear got on its all fours and started running at him. And he punched it and it fell down dead at his feet. Is that a true story? I don't know. But that was the story the man told. And he had scars to prove it. And it just reminded me instantly of David and Goliath. So if you will, turn over to 1 Samuel 17. I have all of the verses I'm going to use on the PowerPoint, but if you want to, you can follow along in your Bible as well. So first we're going to talk a little bit about Goliath. So 1 Samuel 17. I guess that got changed. Y'all can't really see that, can y'all? It was yellow. Anyways, it's 1 Samuel 17, 4 through 8. So a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. That is about 9 feet 9 inches tall from what I had heard. So I was looking around, and I kind of got to looking at this speaker. And I'm guessing that's probably about 10 feet to the top of that speaker. It's probably about 10 feet tall. So you can see me, and I'm about 9 or 9'10". You can just tell how tall that actually was. You can change that back to yellow if you want. That's what it was on. But you can just imagine how tall 10 feet and 9 inches, almost 10 foot tall. That's a basketball goal rim. We can almost all visualize how tall basketball is, or a rim is. Let's keep reading. Verse 5 says, "He had a bronze helmet in his head, and on his head he wore a, he had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, weighing 5,000 shekels." That is 125 pounds, is what it converts to in modern day weight. That is a lot. I don't know if anybody's ever picked up a 50-pound bag of cement or, you know, feed, horse feed or anything like that, but that alone is heavy. There we go. Now we can see it. 125 pounds. That's a lot. And he was wearing this as armor. Verse 6, "On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and he had a bronze javelin slung between his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod." I actually looked this up because, you know, we know what a weaver's rod is. It was used in a loom to keep the yarn at the right place. But these things were usually around 10 or 12 feet long and weighed about 16 to 20 pounds. So if you can imagine, you know, Goliath being 10 feet, well, his spear was, you know, naturally taller than him. So, you know, 12, 11 feet spear with a width of about 4 inches. That's a tree. He was carrying around a tree. And then the spear, the head of his spear was 15 pounds too. We can keep reading, and it says, "His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels, and his shield bearer went ahead of him." So in all, his spear probably weighed, you know, 30 to 50 pounds. And he was about to throw that or, you know, fight with that. And most of us can't even imagine barely able to pick something like that up. So this guy was a bear of a man. Bigger than a bear, really. I mean, if you think about it, he was huge. And this is what he said. "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine, and you, servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." This sounds a little weird. You know, we have two armies face to face, but back then this is how they did it. To save the bloodshed, there wouldn't be two armies clashing. They would send out two main people. The two people would fight and settle it just between those two people. Sometimes. That's not always how it went, but sometimes. "Again, the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I want you to remember the phrase, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day." Just keep that in your mind as we continue. And afraid. How Saul and all Israel was afraid. So as we continue, now we're going to talk about David. And that's in a little bit further down in verse 32 of the same chapter. "David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go and fight against this Philistine. You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. They estimated David to be around 15 years old at this point in time. 15 years old. That in this day, he wouldn't even be able to drive a car by himself. They said he might have been around 5 to 5.5 feet tall. So can you imagine, I said I'm about 5'10", so that's maybe even a whole head shorter than me, and 10-foot Goliath. Can you imagine the size difference in seeing that? Of course Saul was going to say that you can't fight him. But do you see the words of David? I've already killed this lion and this bear. Why should I be scared of this? And this is what he said in 36. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. So I asked you to remember defy, because taunted and defy are the same terms, or the same words. And that's exactly what Goliath did. But if we look back in the verse where it's verse 8. Well, it's verse 10 actually. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. He didn't know what he was truly talking about. He really didn't think it through, did he? He didn't know he was taunting the armies of a living God. He thought he was just big, bad Goliath. Everyone's scared of him. And they were. But yet here comes 15-year-old David who says, I'm not scared of him. I have God. I have everything and more. And if he's going to taunt God, I'm going to go and show him who the living God is. And here's the battle scene. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted this day. The Lord will deliver... My things are a little bit off, so I'm just going to leave them off, but... whom you have taunted, this day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the armies of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel, and that all the assemblies may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into my hands. David had full confidence. There wasn't a bit of doubt. There wasn't a bit of second guessing. There wasn't any slight chance in David's mind that he was going to lose. No chance. He knew from the second he saw and heard what this Philistine was saying that he could kill him. He knew. There was no chance for this Philistine. Here's the victory. Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Interestingly enough, we actually talked about this in class. And Charles made an awesome point, and I actually have it on here. That slingshot was not our normal slingshot. We know that it was two straps with a pocket, and he would sling it over his head. That is today's gun. that equals today's gun. And they have actually, people still use these slings like that, and they have calculated that stone comes out of the sling like a 45 caliber bullet. So that thing is flying. And when it says it struck the Philistine on his forehead and sunk into his forehead, that's what it means. It went into his head. It didn't just knock him out. It went into his head. That stone was coming out of that sling like a gun, like a bullet. That just amazes me, that something that powerful from just a small 15-year-old. But at the same time, we know he had God on his side. We know that. Matthew chapter 20. We're going to now start talking about fear, and what fear is, and what fear should be to us as Christians, as children of God. What should we fear? What should we use that emotion for? Matthew chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. This is Jesus. He says, "Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim on the housetops." He's saying, don't fear persecution. Don't fear them. And as we continue reading, we'll see this. Don't fear the unknown. It will be revealed. Don't worry about it. Fear and worry are so closely knit, but don't fear the unknown. Don't fear public speaking. This is actually the first lesson I ever did. I never had a PowerPoint for it until recently, but it terrified me to get up here and speak in front of people. It terrified me, and that's why I did this lesson, because it went so well. And you know, I said that, this is my Goliath. I overcame my Goliath. I beat my Goliath. I got up here and I spoke. What's your Goliath? What are you going to overcome? Next verse, 28 says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So in this verse, we get a little bit further detail on not fearing those who persecute you. Don't fear anyone who can harm you or harm this body or even kill this body. Don't fear those who kill. We don't have to worry about that, because we know if they kill us, we know where we're going. We know that God has promised heaven to us. Don't even fear death. And I think this is important for Christians. I think if a Christian is fearing death, then they need to step back and really evaluate their life. Because if you're fearing death, then you need to seriously start reading and understanding what happens after death, because that's going to be way better than this life. If you're a true Christian, a true child of God, you should be totally and utterly prepared for death, and you should definitely not fear death. Fear God. So we get a little bit of information on what we actually should be fearing in this life. We get a little bit of insight on where our fear or dread should be placed. I heard an interesting statistic that we're actually only born with two fears. And I might get this wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, it's the fear of heights and the fear of loud noises. And I guess they just tested this on babies. I don't really know. But supposedly, we're only actually born with those two fears. Every other fear that you acquire is taught to you by someone else. So, fear of spiders, that's taught. Fear of bugs in general, that's taught. Fear of darkness, that is something taught to you. None of these things are actually nature or even how you're born. Another interesting fact was, I think it was 98% of fears won't ever even come true. They won't ever even actually happen. People just are scared that it might happen. Isn't that a little bit mind-blowing? 98% of our fears that we are scared of won't even actually ever happen. They won't ever actually happen. Jesus continues in 29:30. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. What can we learn from this? Don't fear this life. You know, I already said don't fear death, because death is going to be better than this life. Once we die, we're going to heaven. So don't fear this life. Don't fear the things in this life. There's no reason to sit here and be worried and anxious and just stress yourself out. Just don't fear the things in this life or this life. You know, we know that verse. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Anxiety is fear and worry combined. That's what anxiety is. Fear and worry combined. God cares for you. He knows you personally. Do you know Him personally? Is that something that you're striving to get better at? Closer to? It should be, because He cares for you, even to the point where He knows how many hairs are on your head. That's pretty impressive. Now, we're going to talk about perfect love in a sense of how perfect love casts out fear. And if we have perfect love, we won't have fear anymore. And this is something we should be striving to gain. 1 John chapter 4, 15 through 19. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because He is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. I can't even say it better. I can't even explain it better. That verse is so right to the point. It's so perfect. Perfect love casts out fear. God is love. What do we have to fear? What do you fear in your life right now? I challenge you today to go home and overcome that fear, no matter what it takes. Just know that perfect love casts out fear, and there's no reason to have fear if God is your Father. There's no reason. It doesn't make sense. I think these are a little bit off again, so I'm just going to skip through them. Romans 8:35 teaches us about Christ's love. And that is perfected love. That is exactly what we need. It is far beyond anything in this world. Who will separate us, starting in verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation... Will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or a sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all things. I want to emphasize all. In all things, all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. We conquer all things through Christ's love. That's how we defeat Satan. That's how we overcome all of our temptations, all of our fears. That's the starting point that we need to start at. We need to take a step back, figure out what's going on in our lives, and overcome it through the love of Christ. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. How great does that sound? Nothing. Nothing can or will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How incredible is that? Do we ever stop and think about this verse and think about how awesome and deep this verse really is? Listen to what it's saying one more time. Starting about halfway through. For I'm convinced that neither death... There's your death. Stop fearing death. Death is just the starting point. Nor life. Stop fearing this life. There's nothing in this life that has any power over you. Nor angels. That's even spiritual things. That's a spiritual being. But it still has no power over you. Nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers. Nothing, nor height, nor depth, any other created thing. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Need I say any more? What are you fearing? What's going through your mind that's holding you back? Because that's what all fear does. It's hold you back from your full potential. It stops you in your tracks. Overcome that fear. Get in Christ's love, that perfected love, and perfect your love. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Now, talking about the one thing we should fear, with good reason. We already looked in Matthew. Fear God because He can destroy both soul and body in the fires of hell. Why fear anything in this life? Not even angels. Can't separate you from Christ. Fear God. Isaiah chapter 8. Starting in verse 12, you are not to say, it is a conspiracy in regard to all that this people call a conspiracy. You are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy, and He shall be your fear, and He shall be your dread. Then He shall become a sanctuary, but to both the house of Israel, a stone to strike and a rock to stumble over, and a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He shall be your fear. He shall be your dread. And when you make God your fear and your dread, He will become your sanctuary. How awesome and almost backwards does that seem? Wait, you just told me fears going to hold me back and going to make me anxious. But fearing God will make you at peace. will give you true freedom. He will be your sanctuary if you fear God and if you dread Him and put Him first in your life. Other words or other translations use revere or reverence. And that kind of gives it a different context. It means it's like a father and a son. Fear to the point that you want to obey. Fear because you want to obey. Or obey because you fear. We all know Ecclesiastes. Great book. The whole time, the preacher's saying, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. What is this life? It's nothing. There's nothing in this life that can satisfy. There's nothing here that will ever subdue your true needs. And what does he say at the very last of that whole book? The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, and everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Put your fear in the place it should be. And don't accept fear of this world. Don't accept it. Don't let yourself fall into the fear of this world. And especially, don't let yourself fall into the fear of the devil to the point where he's controlling you. Don't get me wrong. Don't take the devil lightly. But don't fear him. We have God on our side. And we have Christ's love, and nothing can separate us from that love. So, the conclusion of this, we are not to fear this life or anything in this life. We are not to have any fear of this vanity that is around us. We are not even to fear those who can actually take this life away. Because all they're doing in taking our lives away is sending us to heaven. And that is a great thing. Sending us to the place where we want to be anyways. Why would we fear death? Why would we fear those who can kill us? Don't fear this life or the things in it. We must have perfected love to overcome our fears. We read it. 1 John said it. Perfect love casts out fear. Stop fearing. Perfect your love in Christ. And stop fearing. Christ's love is that love. That is the love that we need. And guess what? There is no created thing can separate us from that love. Nothing. We must fear God. We must have that fear of God. We must take up this and read. Go read Ephesians chapter 6. Put on your armor this day. Put it on. Take it up. Take up this, your sword, and fight off the devil. Fight off what's happening. Fight off your fears with this and the perfected love of Christ. If anybody today just needs any prayers, please come forward and we'll pray for you. If anybody wants to start that journey, to turn their life around, to live a new life for Christ, to be devoted, to become a disciple, please come forward and we'll make that happen right now as we sing.